Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Ches. This year is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, Lizachus for Shalema, for Chaim Naftali ben Firmit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya. They should both have Rufo Shalema, Besoch, Shar, Chole, Yisrael. We left off on the bottom of Dav Zayin and Beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of Dav Zayin and Beis. The Mishnah is going to have two different machlokos tanoim, Rebbe and Rabbanan, relating to galus while chopping wood. Why chopping wood? Because that's the example that the Torah gives where a person is chayav galus. So they're going to argue about different examples where someone might get killed in the act of chopping, and which is the example that the Torah was actually talking about where a person would go to galus. The Gemara is then going to discuss what is considered koach kocha, what's considered like a secondary koach, where one would not be chayiv galus. And then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss how one only goes to galus if everyone is allowed to be in the spot that they are. There's Roshos, Lenizik, Lemazik, Likonis, Lesham, and what you're doing is not a Dvar Mitzvah, what you're doing is only a Dvar Roshos. The Gemara is going to talk about specific cases of a person in a Roshos HaRabim knocking down a wall in Roshos HaRabim or throwing a rock into a Roshos HaRabim, what these specific cases are where one might go to galus. Even in those cases, we're going to discuss what the word umatza means, both in the context of galus as well as in general in Kol HaTorah Kula, because the Mishnah talks about a case where a person throws a rock and no one was there, and someone else sticks out his head and catches the rock with his head and gets killed. So is that considered to be something that you go to galus for? The Mishnah says no. How do we know that? From the word umatza. So we're going to discuss the word umatza and what it generally means, what the connotation of that word is. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have to define when the pasuk says becharish v'katzir tishbos. What exactly are we talking about? To be shoves from plowing and from harvesting? When Shabbos, Shmita, and are we talking about charishas rishus, charishas mitzvah, ktsiras rishus, ktsiras mitzvah? So that's going to be a discussion on Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about a father going to galus for his son, and a ben going to galus. The Gemara is going to discuss what exactly those cases are where a father would go to galus for a son and the son for a father, for killing a father. The Gemara is going to have two deos, whether maka nefesh excludes killing a father or excludes wounding a father. And then at the very end of the daf, if we get to it today, the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly is the case of getting malchus for what you do to a kuti, meaning there's some case where one gets malchus for doing something to a kuti. What exactly does one do to Kuti where he's going to be Chayiv Malkus? So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Nishmat HaBarzel Mekaso Vaharag. A person is chopping wood and the barzel comes off of the handle. The blade comes off of the handle and it kills. Rebbe Amreinu Gola. Rebbe says that's not the case you go to Golas for. V'cham Marm Gola. The Chum say that's exactly the case that you go to Golas for. But on the other hand, Mina Eitz HaMispakeya. Let's say the piece that flew off and killed somebody was not the blade off of the handle, but rather you were chopping wood and a piece of wood came off from the wood that you were chopping and went and killed somebody. Rebbe Omer Gola, Rebbe says that's what the Torah is talking about where you get galus. V'cham say no, that is not a case where one would go to galus. Why are we talking about chopping wood? Because the Torah says v'asher yavo esrei ehu bayar lachtov etzim v'nitcha yado bagarzen lichros etz v'noshala barzel min ha'etz. It specifically gives this case. You're chopping wood and noshala barzel min ha'etz u'matza esrei v'meis. Such a person has to run to the Yer Miklat. The Machlokas, Rebbe and the Chachamim, is what does V'nashala Barzel Mina Eitz mean? Does it mean that the handle separates from the blade and the blade kills? Or does it mean that a splinter of wood separates from the wood that you're chopping and that's what kills? Tanya, Amr Lehem, Rebbe Lechamim, Rebbe says to the Chamim, to prove his point, where he says that that you don't go to Golos when the blade falls off. The Torah is Dafka talking about when it's a piece of wood that falls off. V'chinevar v'nashala barzel may eitzo. Does it say that the barzel comes off from eitzo, from its handle? V'alolo nemar ela mina eitz. It sounds like it's from the tree that you're chopping. So isn't that a raya to me that it's only when it's a piece of wood that comes off from what you're chopping? V'od nemar eitz lematav and nemar eitz lemala. We use the term eitz when we describe the person's activity. He's going lachtov Eitzim, lachtov eitzim clearly does not mean the handles of axes. Lachtov eitzim means a tree. He's chopping a tree. So ma eitzah amr lamala mina eitzah mispakeya. Av eitzah amr lamata mina eitzah mispakeya. So when we talk about a piece coming off from the eitz, it must mean from the tree that is being chopped. So those are Rebbe's two rayas. Amr b'chibarashi amrav ushnei mikra chadarshu. They're both getting it from the same phrase in the pasuk. It's just a matter of how to understand. Understand that phrase. The phrase very clearly says "Vinashala Barzel Mina Eitz." It's just that Rebbe Savar Yesh Eim Lemesores Vinishal Ksiv, that it's written as with no Aleph or Hey. It's as if Vinishal Ksiv. It's as if it's written Vinishal of Rabbanan Savri Yesh Eim LeMikra Vinashal Karina. Meaning, whenever you have a Kri and a Ksiv, you have one way of reading it and another way that it's spelled. We always have to figure out what is the Iker. When we want to make a drasha, which is the one that we focus on? The mikra, the way that it's pronounced, or the mesores, the way that it's spelled? So Rebbe says we look at the way that it's spelled, and it's spelled vin nishal. Nishal means that the barzel comes off from the eitz of the barzel causes a piece of wood to come off from the eitz hamispakeya, and that's what kills the person. And the rabbanan say no, yeshem lemikra. We pronounce it vin nashal. Sounds like the barzel is doing this on its own. Nashal may al eitzo, that the barzel flies off from its own handle, from its own eitz. So that's the what's really the basis of Rebbe's shita. Says Gemara, Rebbe Yeshem L'Masara Sfirulei, is that consistent with what Rebbe holds in Shas in general? Does Rebbe really hold Yeshem L'Masara that we look at the way that things are spelled and not the way that things are pronounced? Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan tells us that Rebbe, Rabbi Yudah ben Roatz, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, you go five different sugyas in Shas where this comes up, where the Mesoras and the Mikra are different, and therefore we have to darshan them differently. You have in Mesechah Sanhedrin a major sugya in the beginning of Sanhedrin. You have in Mesechah Sukkah. So kulu svirlehu yesh eim lemikra. But this entire group of Tanaim holds yesh eim lemikra, that we look at the way that things are read, that things are pronounced, not at the way that things are spelled. So how can you tell me Rebbe's whole shita over here is based on yesh eim lemesoras? So says Gemara, yeah, haynu dekamer levaod. That's why Rebbe had two rayas. First is, if you hold Yeshem L'Mesores, so then Vada he has a raya. But even if you generally hold Yeshem L'Mikra, he has the Va'od, that clearly in context, the eitz that we're talking about is the eitz HaMispakeya. The eitz that we're talking about is the piece of wood that's being chopped, and not the piece of wood that is the handle of the axe that's doing the chopping. Amrav Papa, man deshada pisa ledikla. Rav Papa points out, if let's say you take a clod of earth and you throw it at a palm tree, you throw it at a dekel tree, va'asa tamri, va'azal tamri v'katal, and that knocks off a date from the date palm, and the date falls and kills someone, banama l'machlokas, to Rebbe v'Rabbanan. That's exactly the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Why is that exactly the machlokas? That's exactly mina eita mispakeya. Just like if you swing the axe, it hits the wood, a piece of wood flies off from there and kills somebody. So you're, so to speak, swinging whatever it is you're throwing at the tree, and a piece of something flies off of the tree and kills somebody. The date flies off of the tree and kills somebody. That's exactly the machlokas. Is that so indirect that you're not going to be chayiv? Or do we say that no, that's exactly the case that you're chayiv? So that's the machlokas, Rabbi and the Rabbanan. Says Mar Pshita, of course that's a machlokas, Rabbi and the Rabbanan. It's mamish, exactly the same case. You are using your koach to swing at something. Something comes off of that something and kills somebody. It's exactly our Mishnah. So says Mar, no, mal detema kikoch kochodami. I might have thought that this is less direct than the case of our Mishnah, that this is kikoach kocho. So Kamashmul, and therefore it tells me that no, it is like the case of our Mishnah. Why would it be less direct than the case of our Mishnah? What is less direct about this? So Tosfos explains, V'lo dami le'itz ha'mispakeya, tasam naga b'masha b'yado, b'shas ha'tazas ha'etz. When you're chopping, nothing has left your hand. There's still something in your hand when the piece of wood that you're chopping flies off and kills somebody. So there's a direct connection to you. It traces back to you, well, because your hand hand is still on the axe. But over here you threw it, so you're gone already. You're out of the picture already. I might have thought that that's considered koch kocho, and therefore you're not chayiv. And that yes, you are chayiv. That it is not considered koch kocho. So says Mar. So what does it take for it to be koch kocho? Ela koch kocho l'Rebbe heichem mishkachasla. What's an actual example of koch kocho when according to Rebbe? So kigon de shada pisa umachil legarma va'azil garma umachil lekavasa va'asat tamri va'azil tamri v'katal. You need to add another step. You threw the clod of earth at a branch. The branch went and swung and hit a date. Then the date detached and went and killed somebody. By adding that extra step, that branch, not just that you threw it and the date came off, you threw and the branch went and the branch hit and then the date came off, that extra step, that's what makes it koach kocho. There is a discussion in Poskim about koach kocho when it comes to shechita. That by shechita bekocho, the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin Daf Yud Beis, shechita sukshera, even bekocho. So if you throw a knife at the neck of the animal and somehow you manage to do kosher shechita by throwing a knife, you're a very talented circus performer, so then the shechita is going to be kosher. But the din of shechita bekoach kocho, the Gemara does not discuss at all. So someone throws a knife and it hits a wall and then the knife ricochets back and the koach kocho on the ricochet manages to do a shechita the behema on its way back. The Marashdam writes in the Tshuva Yardeya Siman Alephos Gimel that even though mitzad asvaro you would think the shechita is possible, but he brings a raya that the shechita, such a shechita, would be kosher. Why would it be kosher? Is it because that's considered kocho, because the sakin is still traveling as a result of your koach, of your throw, and that's therefore considered kocho? Or is it only kikoach kocho, and koach kocho is considered good enough by shechita? Nafkamina would be if you're zorik sakin bekosel, the sakin hits a rock and the rock goes and does the shechita, so that would definitely be koach kocho. So is that good enough if you have koach kocho by shechita? So that's a discussion, all sorts of machinery that maybe a person could set up to do the shechita. If it's done with koach kocho, that it may be problematic to do the shechita in such a way. There's also a discussion about ksivas get. What if you want to write a get on a typewriter? Is that considered kocho, koach kocho, meaning it's not direct ksiva, where a person's writing directly on pen to paper, where a person's writing in the normal way? So there's a tshuva in the Chalkas Yaakov, in Ibn Ezra Siman Kofei, where he discusses using a typewriter or a computer to write a get, where he says that aside from the fact that if we would be matir such a thing, forget about Kedushas Yisrael, everything's going to fall apart because every clown is going to start writing gittin and they're going to get all sorts of things wrong, meaning it's sort of a way of separating the men from the boys in terms of who gets to write gittin, that they have to be a trained sofer gittin in order to write a get. So that certainly helps a great deal if allowing a typewriting would be a very, very big problem. But then he says, based on our sugya, that maybe if it's written by a machine, it's a chashash of psul d'oraisa. And the even by shechita, where you don't eat kavana l'shem shechita, the Tvur Shor paskins that and the Tvur Shor is one of the major poskim that koch kocho is pasul misafek. So and the Rambam writes, whenever we say shechita psula, it's nevela v'loka, meaning so koch kocho would be pasul misafek min haTorah. So by a get, certainly where it needs to be done l'shma, it would be problematic to write a get using some sort of koach kocho. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Hazorik evel rishus rabim v'harag hareza gola. Let's say a person throws a rock into rishus rabim and it kills somebody. So the guy goes to gola. So Blazim Yaakov Omer, im yishik mikeshe yatsasa ha'evin miyado hotzi alas roshu v'kibla hareza pater. If you threw it to an empty area and then someone walked right in that area where you threw it and it caught him, so then you're going to be pater. Zorik has evel l'chatzera v'harag. If you throw an evel into your own chatzar and it kills, im yesh rishus nizik likanis l'sham, gola. If the nizik had a right to be there, he was permitted to be there, then you go to golus. V'imla aveinu gola. But if he was trespassing, you're not going to go to golus. It's not going to be considered your problem. Shnemar v'asher yavo esreyo b'yar. Ma haya ar rishus nizik l'mazik likanis l'sham, av kol rishus nizik l'mazik likanis l'sham. That since the Torah gives the example of a forest, and a forest by definition is a place of hefker where people are allowed to go, so too, you only go to golus when it's a place that the mazik and the nizik are both permitted to be there. As opposed to chatzar b'al habayis, where the nizik is trespassing, he's not allowed to be there. That the Torah gives the example of killing someone while chopping wood. Chopping wood is an activity that a person can choose to do or choose not to do. So you're only chayiv galus if you kill while doing an act that is purely discretionary. Yotza av hamakas beno v'arav arodes talmido. As opposed to if you're doing a mitzvah, one is being mechanech his child, the Rebbe is hitting the child to get him to learn. Shliach Beis Din is hitting somebody to give the onesh that he deserves in Beis Din. So in such a case, you would not you would not go to Golos. The Rashash points out that the Ravid in the end of the fifth parak of Hilchos Rotzeach says that he hits the Shliach Beis Din is hitting more than Mimasha Amdu Beis Din, more than the assessment. Meaning any time they give Malkus, they first have to get a doctor to examine the person who's going to be Chayiv Malkus to see what he could handle. And if he could only handle 15, you only give him 15. You don't give him 39. Well, the Shliach Beis Din got a little anxious. He got a little excited. He was enjoying himself. So he hit a little one too many. So says Rashash V'tema, that's Beferish. Hosef lo odru tzua achas meis hareze gol. That's beferish in the sugya later on of beis and beis. So very strange that he would say that your hosif ala omed. So that doesn't seem like the case at all. It's unusual why the Ravid would say such a thing, which seems directly against the Gemara. That's the kasha that the Rashash points out. But we do see over here that when you're involved in a mitzvah, when the hitting is a mitzvah, a person does not go to galus. It's a mitzvah for a Rebbe to hit a child. So yeah, it used to be. Used to be considered a mitzvah. Now we would consider it an isser, a fireable offense for sure. Why? What changed? So a lot changed, but one of the things that changed is that even with the av, hamaka es beno, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin that a father is not allowed to hit beno agadol, he's not allowed to hit a teenager, let's say, because a teenager is just likely going to be boet ba'aviv. He's not going to take it, he's not going to react by crying and doing tshuva, he's going to react by fighting back. So then it's lifnei iver. The father is violating lifnei iver, because he knows that the child is going to have a negative reaction. So nowadays, even much, much younger children already know to have the chutzpah to be, to fight back. So since that's the reality, so then it falls into that category, and there's no longer this assumption. Also, the assumption always was that it worked, meaning that it was an effective form of chinuch, that in the long run, you're going to be better off for that. I think they now know that in today's day and age, it just doesn't work. It has the immediate effect, often will work, but the long-term effect is very, very negative. So since it doesn't work, so then of course there's no hetter to do it. So it says Gemara, l'rishus harabim mezidu. If you throw something into rishus harabim, so that's mezid. What do you mean that if you throw something into rishus harabim, you're gonna go to galus? That's the first line of the mission. You go to galus. It's mezid. Amar shomar yitzchak besosres kosalim. No, you're just trying to knock down your wall, and your wall borders on rishus harabim, and a piece of the wall went and killed someone. So what do you mean? You can't just knock down a wall into Rishus Rabim. You have to look if anyone's there. Vesosos Kosala Belaila. It was night. It's very difficult to see. Belaila Nami Belaila Yune. That's no excuse. So get a light. You have to look. You have to see if somebody's there. Vesosos Kosala La Ashba. No, you're knocking down your wall into an Ashba, into a dump, into where there aren't normally people there. So Hay Ashba Echidami. Well, what's the reality? Ishchich Bar Rabim. If it's a place that there are people there, Posheahu. Then you're certainly negligent. It's considered like a mazid, and you don't go to Golis for that reason. If there aren't people there in general, then anusu. Then it's an anus. It's less than a shogig, and you shouldn't go to Golis. So Amra Papalot Shricha El Ashpa Asui Liponos Belayla Vein Asui Liponos Babayom. It's a kind of place where sometimes people will go there at night to go to the bathroom because it's a private area and no one's and it's dark. But during the daytime, it's public enough. People aren't going to go there during the daytime. V'ikad mikra v'yasir. But every once in a while, someone might break those normal rules and go during the daytime. So p'sheilo havita inasil l'panos b'yom. You're knocking down the wall during the daytime, or you're throwing something into that ashba during the daytime, and you normally no one's there, so you're not a p'sheya. But onesami l'havita ikad mikra v'yasir. But you're also not an ones, because there are sometimes people that go there. What is the fact that people go there at night then have anything? He said, the Gemara says it's normal that people go there at night. During the day, not so normal, every once in a long while, and you're throwing a rock there during the day. What do I care what people are doing there at night? The point is that every once in a while, someone goes there during the day, so it's not a posheya, and it's not an ones. So that's what Tosus points out. We're talking about biyom, ubezorik la'ashba v'lo besosik kosalo. He says, we're scrapping the case of knocking down a wall. We don't have to say that anymore. Once we discuss about an ashba, it's talking about a case where you're throwing a rock, you're actually physically throwing a rock. Why do we have to say that it's a case that people go there all the time at night? Who cares? It's not nighttime right now. We're talking about you throwing a rock there during the day. So this is very interesting, that since there is a time of the day that it is common for people to be there, you have to start thinking in those terms about that place. When you think about that place, you have to start thinking about people. Good. Once you think about people, you should realize ikad demikra v'yasif, that every once in a while someone will come during the day. But if it were a place that people typically don't go, and it's only an ikad demikra v'yasif bein b'yom bein b'layla, we would not hold you responsible to even think about the presence of people in such a location. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Then the Mishnah quoted that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, if you throw the rock to nowhere and there's no one there, and then someone sticks out their head and catches it, so then you don't go to Galus. So why? Because the pasuk says, the Bryce is about to elaborate. Tan Rabbanan ummatza. Pasuk says ummatza prat lemamtzi esatzmo, that it has to be ummatza esrei ehu, that the splinter came off, or the blade came off ummatza esrei ehu, and it went in the direction of the guy that got killed. But not when he was mamtzias atzmo. It's not a case where it went in the direction of nobody, and then he stuck his head in the way and got killed. Mikanam Reb Elazar ben Yaakov v'mishiyat sasa heaven miyada hotzi Allah asrosho v'kibla pater. That's what Reb Elazar ben Yaakov knew his din. L'meimra d'matzah me'ekar mashma. Wait, does the word matzah, are we saying that the word matzah always means something that was there from before? Uriminu, I'll ask you a stira. Ummatza prat lematzui shloim kabarachuk v'igobl karbarav v'igobl yafa. There's a halacha called mocher steach luzaso, that if a person sells his field of inheritance, the halacha is that if he comes up with the money, we force the guy that he sold it to sell it back to him at that price. But that's only if he then matzah, he then now comes up with the money. What if he had the money the whole time, but he just decided, you know what, I'd rather sell that field of inheritance than sell some different field, which I happen to like more, which is a better field, which is a closer field. So I'm selling it anyway, even though there's no hechrech, I don't have to. I could have sold something else, but I chose the field to sell, my steyachuza. I chose to sell that. So then that would not be halacha that we force the guy to sell it back to you. Why? Because it says umatzah. When do we force him to sell it back to you? When just now you found the money. So don't you see umatzah is something that you just now found, that just came up, not something that was there meyikara? So amrava hacha mein yana dekra vasa mein yana dekra. Everything is about context. The context of the pasuk. Over there, the pasuk says v'siga yado. Now we could afford it. So obviously, matzah means something brand new. That ma'ay siga yado mehashta af matanami mehashta. It means that it just happened now. But over here, when we talk about killing b'shogeg, also context. Just like the forest has been there the entire time, af matanami mididise meikara. So matzah is also so that the item went and hit someone that was there the entire time. Then we said a zorek es ha'evin. If a person throws a rock into his chatzer, so if, as long as the person has permission to be there, you go to Galus. But if the guy had no permission to be there, you would not go to Galus. And we said that it's only if you're doing a dvar rishus. But if you're doing a dvar mitzvah, then you don't go to galus. Who says that the pasuk is talking about where you're chopping wood stam because you want to chop wood? Maybe when the Torah is talking about a case of a guy chopping wood in the forest and kills someone and goes to galus, maybe somebody that he's chopping wood for a mitzvah. How do you chop wood for a mitzvah? He's chopping wood for the atzei maracha that they can use on the mizbech. Okay, a little difficult for us to relate to. We were never zochet to see a beis hamikdash. He's chopping wood to build the sukkah. He's going and he's cutting wood that he bought from the decided. Instead of spending whatever it is, $200 a panel for a fancy sukkah, he's going to go to Home Depot and he's going to figure out how to cut up the lumber, and he's going to make a sukkah. And then when it doesn't work and his wife yells at him, he'll go and he'll spend the $200 a panel. But in the meantime, he's going to be chopping the wood with the attempt to build the sukkah. So maybe that's the case that the Torah is talking about. I'm like, even the matzah chatov, lav mitzvah, hashinami lav mitzvah. No, there's no mitzvah of chativas eitzim of a sukkah. How do I know? Because if you already had the wood all prepared, you wouldn't have a mitzvah to do a chatavas eitzim. So that's not called a mitzvah. A mitzvah is something that even if it were done already, you would have to do it. So it's not called a mitzvah. Rashi says something startling over here. So Rashi says, hashinami, it's also not a mitzvah. Ki lo matzah chatuva, if you don't have wood pre-chopped, ain't a chatava mitzvah. The chopping is not a mitzvah. Ella asiyas hasukkah, Rashi says. Chopping is not a mitzvah. You know what the mitzvah is? The mitzvah is the asiyas hasukkah, the making of the sukkah. So that is a major statement. That's a major question. Is building a sukkah an actual mitzvah? The Chalkas Yoav is quoted by his Rebbe, by the Avnei Nezer, and Shuvas Avnei Nezer, or Chaim Simon Tofnun Tes, that there is no mitzvah of building a sukkah. If you found a sukkah that was already pre-built, you're not mekayim any mitzvah by building a sukkah. But the Avnei Nezer points out this Rashi, that you see from this Rashi, that there is a mitzvah in building a sukkah. In the commentary to the She'iltos, the Netziv in Hamik She'ela on Parshas V'zos HaBracha, She'ilta Kuf Samach Tes, points out that the Lashon of the She'iltos sounds like Rashi. The Mechayavin de Beis Yisrael Lemevid Metalalta Umesav Boshav Yomei. That what's our mitzvah? Lemevid Metalalta, to make a sukkah and to sit in it for 7 days. Sounds like there's a mitzvah of the asiyah itself, even though the ikur mitzvah obviously is the yeshiva. The asiyah is also part of the mitzvah, and you also find in the Sefer HaPardis L'Rashi, just like the She'iltos has such a lashon. So says the Hamik Sheila L'Chora, Rashi is difficult. He says the asiyah sasukah is the mitzvah. Sounds like if a person kills b'shogeg at a time that he's building the sukkah, he's considered to be osik b'dvar mitzvah, and he would be potter from galus. But if it's while he's chopping the wood to build the sukkah, he'd be chayiv in galus because he's not doing a mitzvah. What's the difference? Either way, you're not actually being mekayim the mitzvah sukkah yet. You're just doing the preparatory stages to be mekayim the mitzvah sukkah. So that's where the Netziv comes up with this phenomenal chiddush, that there's such a thing called a hechsher mitzvah, and then there's such a thing called the mitzvah, and then in between those two levels, there's such a thing called a hechsher mitzvah haksuva b'kra. That sometimes you have a hechsher mitzvah, it's only a preparatory stage for the mitzvah, but it's ksuva b'kra, it's written beferish in the Torah to do this hechsher mitzvah. And such a hechsher mitzvah has a status of a mitzvah itself in many respects. For example, there's a rule by a mitzvah, of mitzvah bo yosemi b'shlucho, that it's better for you to do the mitzvah yourself rather than to send a shliach. Even if it's kosher with a shliach, better to do the mitzvah yourself. So there is such a notion of mitzvah bo yosemi b'shlucho by a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra. So therefore, says the Netziv, when it comes to preparing for Shabbos, since it's ksuva b'kra, why does the Gemara on Shabbos go out of its way to tell us that this Amora used to sweep the floors and this one used to bake the kugel and this one used to... Why do we need to know about this? Because it's hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra. Mitzvah bo, yosemi b'shlucho. If a person has the ability to tie his own tzitzis, and it's not so hard to gain the ability to tie your own tzitzis, it takes 2 minutes to learn how to do, so it says, gedilim tasalcha. It says you're supposed to make your tzitzis, a person should try to tie his own tzitzis. Mitzvah bo, yosem b'shlucho. Person has the ability, the physical ability, to build his own sukkah, mitzvah bo, yosem b'shlucho, the Netziv says. Because this is all a hechsher mitzvah, haksuva b'kra. It seems that the Prima Gadim in Simitof Reish Chafei assumes like the Netziv as well, that it's a mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho by building a sukkah, because Prima Gadim is Dan, there is a discussion, the Ramah writes in two places in Shulchan Aruch, that right after Yom Kippur you're supposed to build your sukkah on Motzai Yom HaKippurim. What if you can have it built on Motzai Yom Kippur, or you can build it yourself the next day? So should we say mitzvah bo yada ayach mitzena, that better to do it ali day shliach right away, or do we say mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho? That very diyun assumes that there is a notion of mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho even on the binyan sukkah, even in the building of the sukkah
of the sukkah itself. The Avnei Nezer has a chiddush in that very same tshuva, that if there's a Shabbos that falls out between Yom Kippurim and Sukkot, that you have to dafka build the sukkah before the Shabbos, because if you don't, it's considered ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos. That whenever you have a mitzvah, that sometime in the middle, there's a time that you can't do it. And there's a time before that you can, and a time after that you can, so it's a violation of ein ma'avirin ala mitzvos to push it to after that middle time where you can't do it. His raya is from Megillah. The Gemara discusses whether Adar Rishon or Adar Beis. So the Gemara's assumption to say that Adar Rishon should be the time to do Kriyas HaMegillah and Shana Mu'beres is because if you wait till Adar Sheni, it's considered Mavir Ala Mitzvos if you wait till Adar Sheni. Why? Because in between Yudal Adar Rishon, Yudal Adar Sheni, you definitely can't do the mitzvah. So the Kasha that the Chalkas Yoav asks on the Avnei Nezer, he says, I don't know what you're talking about. What kind of mitzvah? This isn't a mitzvah. This is building a sukkah. This is a Hechsher mitzvah. By Megillah, it's an actual mitzvah. So that's what the Avnei Nezer says. Now this is also a mitzvah. There's a tshuva in Minchas Elazar where he disagrees strongly with this Avnei Nezer. He says the Avnei Nezer is acting like he discovered America over here, that there's such a mitzvah of building a sukkah. He says, Yerushalmi that way. Yerushalmi says that you make a birchas mitzvah on building a sukkah. And guess what? The Bavli paskin's not that way. And we paskin like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. If there's no birchas mitzvah, it must be because it's not a mitzvah. He doesn't know why the Avnei Nezer thinks it's a mitzvah. Now you understand very well according to the Netziv, ein achinami no birchas mitzvah because it's not a mitzvah, but it's a hechsher mitzvah ksuv b'kra, and that itself should require a bracha. Anyway, so says the Gemara further. Esei Ravina l'Rava yotzav amakas b'nova Rava roz tamido v'shliach beizdin. We gave examples of doing a mitzvah in our Mishnah: a rebbe hitting a kid, a father hitting a kid, a shliach beizdin hitting somebody. So if we're defining mitzvah as something that, even if it were done already, you would still have to do it. Are these good examples of a mitzvah? Lema kivin di lugamer lav mitzvah, hashanami lav mitzvah. Shouldn't we say that, look, if the kid was learning, the Rebbe doesn't have a mitzvah to hit him, so it's not a mitzvah, because had the result already been accomplished, then you wouldn't have to do it. So shouldn't we say that this is not a mitzvah? So says Mar Hasam Avogav de Gamir, mitzvah. Now, even if he's learning, it's a mitzvah. Tichsiv yasa bilchav yanichach v'itin ma'adanim l'navshecha. That if you're tough on your kid, they'll ultimately give you nachas. So you got to be tough on him, even if he's learning. Rav Moshe points out that it can't be that he's like doing everything he's supposed to be doing, and then you're just going whack him. It has to be that there's something that he's not doing up to capability, and that the Rebbe understands that this is going to motivate him. Very difficult to understand otherwise. Hadra Rava lav milsi yadamri. Then Rava says, you know what? I have a much better raya that from the pasuk itself that the pasuk can't be talking about a chatava de mitzvah, because it says v'asher yavos that a forest, by definition, is something that typically you go in or you don't go in. It's your choice. V'isal k'daitach mitzvah, min yasher yavo, sounds like he chose to go. V'isal k'daitach mitzvah, misagid lo ayil. If we're talking about a mitzvah, is it something that he chooses to do? No, he's obligated to do a mitzvah. Some l'ravad b'ravah l'ravah kalhecha t'chsiv asher di'bayu. Asher yavo means that he chooses to. The word asher always means chooses to. Elamayata v'ish asher yitma v'lo yischata. That if a person chooses to become Tamei and then goes into the base of Mikdash, is Chayiv Kares, Ibai Mitma, Ibai Lo Mitma, that means he just chose to be Tamei, but it makes Mitzvah, Dol Sagi, Lo Mitma, Kanami de Pater. But if a person had to become Tamei, he became Tamei to a Mace Mitzvah and then goes into the base of Mikdash, now he's going to be off scot free, he's going to be fine, he's not going to be Chayiv Kares. That's not true. Says Marno, Shaini Asim Dharmakra, Tamei Yamikal Makom. Now the Pasuk over there says Tamei, yeah, that implies it doesn't matter how he became Tamei. If you're Tamei Mace and you walk into the base of Mikdash, you're going to be Chayiv Kares. Says Gemara, no, but I already need Tamei for a different Rasha. Tamei teaches me that even a Tvul Yom that's Nichnas L'Mikdash is Chayiv Kares. Tumasa Bo L'Rabbos M'chusa Kippurim. Tumasa Bo teaches us even beyond that. He went to the mikveh the day before, he already had Arav Shemesh, he just hasn't brought his korban the following day. Still he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. So I need the Pasuk Tamei to teach me about a Tvul Yom not going into the Beis HaMikdash. I can't use it to teach me that even someone who had a mitzvah to become Tamei can't go into the base of Mikdash. Amalei, Anna, Mei say od ka'amina. He says, yeah, but I'm learning from the word od in the pasuk that even someone who had a mitzvah to become tameh is chayiv kares for entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah. That was all one discussion of where we brought up the question of a mitzvah being defined as something that even if you found it pre-done, you would still have to do it. Ika de masni la aha. Some had that discussion in an entirely different context, not really in the context that we just brought it up of chatavas etzim, but that the conversation started entirely differently. Becharish uvekatzir tishpos. Pasuk says that you have to keep Shabbos, and becharish uvekatzir tishpos, that you should rest from plowing and from harvesting. So Bikivi Amarin Tzorach Lamer Charish Shal Shvius uvekatzir Shal Shvius. So Bikivi says, first of all, the end of the pasuk, even though the beginning of the pasuk is talking about Shabbos, when it talks about charish uvekatzir, it can't be talking about Shabbos. It has to be talking about Shemitah. And not only that, it can't be talking about the Shemitah year itself. We have a beferish pasuk about Shemitah, that you're not allowed to work the field during Shemitah. What's the pasuk teaching me? It's teaching me that even if you have that which was taken care of on Erev Shvius, that's nichnas l'shvius, that you're not allowed to harvest that which grew during the Erev Shemitah, you're not allowed to harvest during the Shemitah year, and katzir shel shvius hayotzei l'matzai shvius, if it grew mostly during the Shemitah year, it still has kedusha shvius, even if you harvest it in the year following the Shemitah year. Rabbi Shmuel omer macharish rishus af katzir rishus. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, the pasuk's talking about Shabbos. The pasuk's not talking about Shemitah. The pasuk says, not allowed to plow or harvest on Shabbos. So, of course, you're not allowed to. He's telling us, the pasuk is teaching us, that just like plowing by definition is a reshus, there's never a mitzvah to plow anything, so too, when we say you're not allowed to harvest on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do optional harvesting on Shabbos. Yatz k'tzira omer shu mitzvah. But if you ever have a mitzvah of harvesting, then you're even allowed to do that on Shabbos. Like k'tzira omer could be done on Shabbos. That's the chiddush. Who says that plowing is always optional? Dilma charisha somer de mitzvah. What about plowing for the korban omer? Isn't that a mitzvah? And the Torah is still telling us not to do that on Shabbos. So this is where it comes up. By definition, plowing even for a korban omer is not a mitzvah, because if it were pre-plowed, you wouldn't have to plow it. Say Ravina l'Rava. Yes, so Ravina asks on Rava, is that the definition of a mitzvah? What about all the examples of our Mishnah where you're also getting a mitzvah and hitting the kid, or the Shliach Beis Din hitting the criminal? When you're hitting the child, if he was learning, there would be no mitzvah. So how can you say that something that if the result were already achieved, you wouldn't have to do it, that's by definition not a mitzvah? Our Mishnah talks about hitting a kid as yes, a mitzvah. So that's where we give the answer again, that by hitting the kid, even if he's learning, it's a mitzvah. Then Rava says, you know what? It's obvious anyway from the pasuk that the charisha is a reshus and not a mitzvah. K'tzira dumi de charisha. Ma charisha matzah charish enu charish af k'tzira nami. That by charisha, if you found a pre-plowed, you certainly wouldn't have to plow it for the omer. So k'tzira also, there's no mitzvah to be kotzer. Even if you af k'tzira nami, avisal k'daitach mitzvah matzah kotzer enu kotzer. What, you think that if you found it pre-harvested, you wouldn't have to harvest? Mitzvah liktzar alavi. You absolutely have a mitzvah to harvest the korban omer. So that's an exception. That's why it's docha Shabbos. New Mishnah. Ha'av gola al yedei ben va'ben gola al yedei av. A father goes to Golas for killing a son goes to Golas for killing a father. Ha'kol golin al yedei Yisrael, v'Yisrael golin al yedei hen. A Jew goes to Golas for killing anybody, and anybody goes to Golas, or the reverse, anybody goes to Golas for killing a Jew. Chutz mi ger toshav, with the exception of a ger toshav. If a Jew kills a ger toshav, b'shogeg, he does not go to Golas. B'ger toshav einu gola, ela al yedei ger toshav. And a ger toshav only goes to Galus by killing another ger toshav. So now the Gemara elaborates on each line of the Mishnah. Ha'av gola al yidei aben. We said that a father goes to galus for killing a son. But wait, the last Mishnah we've been discussing all daf. Va'amrit yotza ava makas bino. We said ava makas bino is an exception. You don't go to galus when you're makas bino. Degamir. He's already learning, so therefore you do go to galus. If you hit him while he's already learning, then you do go to galus. But wait, we said twice already. Va'amrit avagav degamir mitzvah kavit. That even if he is learning, it's a mitzvah to be makas because he's going to learn better. Says, well, no, bishulia denagri. We're not talking about that you're teaching him Torah, we're talking about you're teaching him carpentry. Well, that's also very important. A father has an obligation to teach his child a profession, and that's also a mitzvah. So the father's considered to be doing a mitzvah. The Pasuk of the Gemara in Kedushin Darshan Staf Laman and Beis, Rei Chai Mimisha Ashara Hafta, that we have a hekesh between an umnus, which is chiyuso, and an isha. Just like a father has to get his son married off, Kuchul Vnecham Nashim, so too he has to teach him an umnus. Absolutely, it's a mitzvah. The gamir umnus achriti. Now the case over here must be where the kid already has another profession. He already knows how to do something else, and you're just teaching him a secondary profession. You know, it's what the sometimes parents are so nervous about their children's ability to be able to earn a living because a parent knows what it is to earn a living and the kind of pressure that it is. So they're so nervous. They want the kid to have a backup plan. For some reason, only in certain professions they want their kid to have a backup plan. But they want the kid to have I never heard of a kid in medical school where the father wanted him to have a backup plan, but they want the kid to have a backup plan. So the father is training the kid in the backup plan of what he could do. So the backup plan is not a mitzvah. That's already perhaps a lack of bitachon. But the ikar plan is the mitzvah. To teach him a basic profession is certainly the mitzvah. Okay, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.